Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. And I pray, Father, please, that we will further meet with you as we've sought you out, Father, in worship, as each one of our hearts, Father, have focused on you and has lifted up praise to you out of our own hearts. I pray, Father, that as we go through this message, that the message will continue to draw our hearts into you, into your word. And may we be blessed by it. May we be blessed by your Spirit. And may you do your work, Father, in each one of our hearts and lives, Father. And let us be fed spiritually. Let us see the things that you want us to see. Glorify your name, your character, who you are. And then through not only this message, but each one of us in our church for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. What I want us to consider this morning is things that we already know, but kind of looking back at them. And I want to look at what it means to be a sacrifice for God. We're going to start off with one that is very, very familiar, and that is Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. First part of the message is deciding to be a living sacrifice. You see, we've always heard that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is saying, okay, be that living sacrifice, and which is your reasonable sacrifice. It's a reasonable sacrifice to be given to the Lord. And we take it in, and we hear it, and we understand basically what it's saying. But it really is a point where I'm getting at. It really is a point in our walk with Jesus that we are challenged to make a decision. That's really what I want to focus on here in Romans 12. That it's a point in our Christian walk where you make a decision. And the decision is, have I decided to make myself truly a living sacrifice for God? Which means, am I willing to give my life up for God? Have I made a decision that I'm not going to allow the influences of the world, whatever they might be, that make me feel special, be that which I follow after? But that what I'm going to follow after is the character of Christ and the will of God in my life. That requires us being willing to say, I see the pressures of the world. I see all these types of things that the world says I ought to be. But my goal is that I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. I want to discover the plan that he has for me. I want to be in the direction and the will that God wants for me. And we have to come to a place as Christians, do we really mean that? When people come forward and they say they want to get baptized, and have you received Christ as Savior? Yes, you have. Do you want to commit your life to Jesus? Yes, I do. Do you want to live with him all the days of your life? Yes, I do. Do you want to follow God all the days of your life? Yes, I do. And it almost, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but sometimes I think it's a pattern of checklist that we're going through. Because the reason why I'm saying that is because obviously there are many that are saying that, and that sincerity follows through in their Christian walk. But there are, even at the moment when I'm talking to them, but there are others that, even though their intention was that, yes, I want to do that, almost as soon as they get dry from the baptistry, they walk away. And they're drawn back into the world. And the reason for that is because they have not truly made a decision to be that living sacrifice for God. And so in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but to know that we're in the will of God, the perfect will of God, is an extremely satisfying. It's extremely securing in our lives. It's absolutely comforting in our lives that we as Christians can say, look, I know that I am doing what God wants me to do. I am where God wants me to be. That my focus is what God wants it to be. In spite of my struggle with my sinful nature, I know I'm in God's will. There's a great, great comfort and joy in that. And that's why Paul said, I beseech you, or I beg you. I'm begging you because I want you to know the perfect will of God for your life. That's why he's saying that. I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Think about what God has done for us. He died for us. He was that sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, your sin and my sin. And so he says, consider what God's Son, God in the flesh, did for us so that it might influence us to be that much more focused on being that sacrificial servant of Christ. Right? That we would be those, like Jesus said, my lambs hear my voice and follow me. Well, be willing to be that sacrificial lamb. In other words, to lay down our life to follow what God has for us to do. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that just simply means the difference from the Old Testament and where we're at now in the New Testament is that no animal physically dies, and we don't physically die. We don't kill ourselves for Christ, but we kill anything that draws us away from God and His will for our life. And that's where the decision comes in. It says, are we desirous of that? Are we hungering after that? Because in doing that, we discover the person of Jesus Christ and the richness of our relationship in Him in greater depth. And so we have to be willing to make that decision. And one of the other way to do that, it says in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. That's a decision. It's a commandment, and it's a decision. I hear the command, don't be conformed to the world, and this decision, again, has to be made. Okay, I choose not to be conformed. I choose not to go the way of this world. I choose not to have the priorities of this world, etc. But be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we surrender ourselves as living sacrifices for God, God changes who we are from a sinful nature to a holy nature, which is God's nature. And it's mind-boggling to think that we can be holy creatures of God this side of heaven, because that sounds so pious. Sounds like we're lifting ourselves up above other people. But when we take on the character of Christ, because we've decided to be that living sacrifice, when we are willing to say no to everything that God says is wrong, or when we blow it, we ask God forgiveness and we move on, and we continue to keep our steps in following Him, the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our mind, what happens is we discover the perfect will of God in our life, because that's what God created us for. He created you and I with a distinctive, purposeful plan that He wants us to yield to as we follow Him. He's called us to follow Him. We are His chosen people. In Numbers 15, 1 through 3, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you, the land of Canaan, out of the desert into the land of Canaan, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed feast, to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd of the flock. Now, I'm not going to go over every detail in that particular passage, but we are to make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or sacrifice to fulfill a vow. A burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow. What's the vow? Do you want to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Yes, I do. Do you want to discover the plan that God has for you? Yes, I do. Do you want to surrender your life to God so that you can be that person God's called you to be? Yes, I do. Okay, we'll go ahead and baptize you, because that's a statement. I want to walk with Jesus now. I've received Him. I'll walk with Him. I'm going to follow Him. That type of thing. That's the offering. That's the burnt offering of sacrifice. That's who we are. That's the picture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That we become that physical offering before God as we physically make decisions not to follow things of the world, but to follow Jesus. And the product of that, look at that last verse, is to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd of the flock. We are the sheep of God. We are His pasture. He is our good shepherd. He is the high priest and the one that directs us and helps us to have the right relationship with the Father. But we are called to have a sweet aroma to the Lord. If God was to look at your life and my life, and we were to check our lives before the Lord, would our conduct, would our lifestyle, would our thinking be in such a way that it is pleasing to the Lord like a sweet aroma? That's what God wants from us as His children. And you know, it's not that the sacrifice is something that robs us. That's what we think. Satan convinces us. If I sacrifice who I am and the way that I want to go in the flesh and things of the world, then I'm being robbed of fulfillment. No. When we actually lay down ourselves and be that sacrifice God wants us to be, the product is that life becomes rich. Remember what I said last week in the introduction of the message about the guy, the Pastor Rollins from 1823 in his sermon, and he had walked up to a 70 or 80 year old man, and he said he didn't know how old he was, but he asked him, he said, "How old are you?" Because he appeared 70 or 80 to him, you know, and the guy answered, and tears came down his face, and he quivered, and he said, "I'm 2 years old." "What do you mean 2 years old?" It didn't make sense to him. He says, "Except for the last 2 years of my life, I lived as a dead man. But the last 2 years of life, I've learned what it means to live through Jesus Christ." You see, that's the product of being that living sacrifice. It's not a robbery to be a sacrifice for God. It's a filling of the purpose that God has created each one of us for. And in following God in that manner, in that commitment, in that, but it's more than that. It's really a heart that says, "I love you, Jesus." We hear that phrase, but evidence of it should be in our lives. And we're following you, and we're in step with you, and when we get out of step, we make sure we get back in step, and we continue to follow you. That's the sweet aroma that glorifies God, and that's what he wants, just like we read in Numbers 15, 1 through 3. So, does your life involve personal sacrifice of comfort, convenience, or schedule, or agenda? Right? Goals, money, material goods, or time when God requires it of you. Are we willing to give these type of things up when God requires us to give those things up? Because it's part of the path, part of the direction, part of the purpose, but even more so, it's part of the sacrifice. Are sacrifices typically non-painful? If that lamb had its throat slit, or that dove had his neck wrung and pulled off, whatever, I'm sure it was painful. When we become that living sacrifice, sometimes the things that God requires of us, we feel the pain of the sacrifice, but what pushes us through that is our love for Jesus. I am willing to feel the pain of sacrifice and suffering if it means following you and being what you called me to be and being a vessel that brings a sweet aroma to you. You see, that's the motivating factor. Our love for Jesus will make us that living sacrifice. And so I think that's an ongoing thing. We may have the desire, but when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, we have to make the commitment to keep him as the love of our life, so that we can continue to lay down ourselves and say, "It's not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life." That's what he wants. But Satan's convinced us, well, if we do that, we're going to be robbed. We're going to be cheated. We're not going to have the fun in life that God wants us to have. Wrong. You're going to enter into an adventure with Jesus that draws you into a relationship with him that is richer than you could ever imagine, and a journey in life that you would never, ever, ever create for yourself. God will introduce things to you you never thought possible in your life. And we praise God for that. We absolutely praise him for that. The second thing I want us to consider is that we are living a sacrificial life. First, we make the decision. Okay, I've decided in my Christian walk that I am going to be that living sacrifice for God. I am serious about it. It's not a good intention. It is commitment and my desire to grow in my relationship with Jesus. So what does it look like to have that living sacrificial life? So I want to look at Philippians 3, 7 through 13. Paul had just finished describing all the sufferings that he had gone through, all the accomplishments that he had gone through in his life. And, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the most highest educated man around. He was on spot with the theology and the writing of the Pharisees. He was like cream of the crop of his people as a Jew. And he said, "I count all of it as plain as day, dung, which was an offensive way to put it. Everything that I've acquired in this world, everything that I gained a name for, everything I counted as done. Even the sacrifices or pain that I've had to do. Those things are not the issue. The issue is being sold out to Christ. The issue is being that living sacrifice, because that's a parallel to being sold out for Christ, to be continually that living sacrifice. So let's look at Philippians 3, 7 through 13. But what things were gained to me, these have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for that. For what does he count all things lost for? I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's not just scripture reference. That's just not theological understanding. That's having that rich personal relationship with Christ that's intense. That's what he's talking about. I count it all loss that I would have the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Some translations say dung, okay, that I may gain Christ. If we're not willing to be that sacrifice, we won't gain the blessing of what it means to be in Christ. And that's a great place to be in Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What's the benefit of gaining a life of righteousness? And again, we don't want to come across as sounding like we're self-pious or better than others. But what is the benefit of gaining that principle of righteousness, of doing what's right in God's eye? And that's the same word that's used for being holy in Christ, that same desire of walking in his spirit and not in our own flesh. What is the benefit of righteousness? The benefit is that we see God more clearly in our life, and we see definitively what is right and wrong and what the path is that makes the best sense for our life, that will not only affect us here, but for all eternity and always for the glory of God. That's a benefit. And righteousness, I'm walking with Christ. And righteousness, I know the path I'm supposed to go in. And righteousness, I'm being that light. And righteousness, I'm being that aroma that people see Christ in you and me. In a world of darkness, they scratch their head and they go, what's the deal with them? How come they're happy? Or how come they can handle this trial or that trial? All these types of questions. And you can simply say, because Christ lives in my heart. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Is that a decision to be that living sacrifice in that verse? Right? Absolutely. That I may know him. That's the benefit. It's not just receiving him and knowing he's in your heart. It's being able to have that quality, intimate time with him that we discover the person of God, of Jesus, in our lives in ways that we never thought possible. That we may know him in the power of his resurrection. Now that's cool, because the power of his resurrection enables us to do things in and through him that are never possible in our own self. To experience the wonderful working and power of God in our lives can only be done by the commitment to be that living sacrifice in him. And we discover, wow, God did that in my life? Wow! And we acknowledge him. That's just totally, totally cool. Resurrection is what term is that? How do we relate the word resurrection? From what? From the dead. And to what? New life. Is that only when the rapture happens? No. He wants us to live in the power of a resurrection life above the sinful nature, above the darkness of this world, above the things that draw us away from God into the fullness of knowing him. That's just totally cool. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I'm willing. I'm content. I am willing to suffer, because when I suffer in Christ Jesus, it shows with a willing heart, it shows my love and my trust and my commitment, and it bears witness to other people that I'm serious about Jesus. Praise God for that. And then being conformed to his death. Jesus died freely for us, and I died to myself freely for him by faith, that he may be seen and glorified. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I've always loved that verse. Because what it's saying is that Christ called you and laid hold of you and I for a purpose. Our lives are not empty. They are not vain. They are not blind in the direction that God would have us to go. They are intentional, and God has a purpose for you and I. And when I was first saved, I was so zealous. I was ready to run for Jesus. And I had to learn that God, I picture this side gate beside the house, and the gate's open, and I'm ready to run through, and this giant hand from heaven coming down and grabbing the back of my shirt collar, holding me up, and my feet spinning 6 inches above the ground. God said, hold on, boy. Follow me, take your steps, and discover what I have for you in me for my glory. And so, I love, because Paul can appear to be very arrogant, but I love the humbleness of that verse. Not that I've already attained. It's an ongoing effort. Praise God. Not that I'm already perfected or mature or complete in Christ, because God continues to transform who I am. But he says, I've made a decision to press on to be that living sacrifice, to follow God, to love him through whatever, the lows and the highs. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Question, is that something you're interested in? Something I'm interested in? I want to discover what God laid hold of me for. The plans we make for ourselves don't compare to the plans that God has made for us. But we have to find them by being that living sacrifice. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I've blown it. I've messed up. I've done this or that. I've accomplished this. I've built my ego. I have gotten the world in my hands, and I count it all loss for the privilege of knowing Jesus and that which he has laid his hands on me for. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I love that. Learn to live by the power of the resurrection above the darkness of this world. It only comes by being a living sacrifice that says, I love you more than myself, Lord. There's the bottom line. I love you more than myself. That's what God wants. So, are there areas of your life are there areas of your life that look too much like the world? We need to ask that question. Hey, there are a lot of churches out there that have made themselves look like so much like the world that you can't distinguish them from the world. There's so many Christians that are living like the world that you can't distinguish them as being Christian. We have to make the decision to be the living sacrifice that God wants us to be transformed in our thinking and not conformed to the ways of the world. That's what God has called us. God has called us. Are we willing, when God calls us to do something that's going to cost us something, that's going to be painful to deal with, but is our heart so tender for God that we can say, God, I am yours. Whatever you want. Are you depending on Christ to live a godly or righteous life? That's an ongoing effort for all of us. If we're going to walk in that lifestyle, then it's a daily, daily effort in Jesus. Some days we don't do it very well, do we? Other days we feel like we're doing well, and when we feel that way, watch out. Because God will show us where we're not. You ever see that before? You wrestle with a sin in your life that maybe is a stronghold in your life. You gain victory over that and say, man, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I can look back and say, you know, that thing's done and over with. Wow. And you're just feeling like, you know, as a Christian, I'm doing pretty good. God says, here, consider this now. I'm so thankful that God doesn't show us everything that we're messed up on all at once. We would just give up. God shows us as our loving Father, point by point, what he thinks is most important, step by step. I'm proud of you, son or daughter, for loving me more than that and dying to that and being that sacrifice. Now, as you go further, I want you now to consider this. Because I want to transform you into my image. Thirdly, what are our sacrificial offerings? What are our sacrificial offerings? A sacrifice of praise occurs when we sacrifice our time, energy, and focus so that we can praise God for how great he is. When we're willing, hey, is it to some degree when we're sacrificing our time, we're going, man, I'd rather be doing something else? That's part of the pain of sacrifice, right? I could be expending my energy on this project or that project, but I'm here doing this. That's part of the pain sometimes, right? Again, I like focusing on this area. I think it's a lot of fun, but it's not pleasing to God. Well, it's kind of a pain to learn to starve yourself from that focus. When we come to praise God for what he's done for us, it's a product of us walking with Jesus and saying, walking in that power of the resurrection, where we can come back to church and go, man, I am so excited about what God did this week in my life. And you come back and you praise God. That's the intention. To adore him and praise him. God, thank you so much for what you did for me this week or today or whatever. And we're magnifying how great he is. And so let's look at a couple verses here regarding your sacrificial offering. Psalm 116, 17 through 19. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's a decision. Understand that. That's a decision. That's part of the sacrificial process. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. Yes, I mean what I'm saying. That I'm giving my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to discover your plans for my life. I want to be the person you want to be. I want to walk in righteousness. I don't want to yield to the ways of the world. That's a vow. When people come forward, that's a vow before God. I want to do this. And God takes vows very seriously. Don't make a vow unless you mean to keep the vow, because the product of not keeping a vow is going to be a guilt trip. We're going to feel convicted. And so be serious about it. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. I have decided that I will be that sacrifice that God requires of me, and I definitely, without doubt, mean it. Not relying on my own strength, because I have none. Not because my own self desires the things of God, because they don't. But because my heart loves Jesus, because of what he first loved me, and I gained to know him through faith in Christ. Psalm 116, 13 and 14 says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Very similar. Hosea 14:2. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. What does that mean, sacrifices of our lips? God, I've blown it, but I'm going to commit it to you. God, I love you, and I want my love for you to become more evident, not only to me, but to others. That's a sacrifice of our lips to God, whatever we offer up to him. Hebrews 13:5 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Have you ever noticed that in the midst of some dark times, I've noticed this in my own personal life, that when I'm down, when I'm feeling crushed, when I'm having this hard time, and I'm just bummed out, that there's a sense in my spirit from the Holy Spirit that says, that's putting a song on my heart. Maybe an old hymn. Maybe something that's just ministering to me. And I'm still mad. And I'm still depressed. And I'm still, you fill it in. And I have a tendency to just kind of suppress that a little bit, but I've learned that God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to lift me up. That's what he wants to do. Hey, I know your circumstance. Paul was 3 days, 2 days and 3 nights in the ocean. How many of us would like that? So many different things that he went through. But the Spirit of God, I'm sure, was there to comfort and to encourage him. And so we embrace that. Another thing for sacrificial offerings, what we need to do, again, that sacrificial aroma, Philippians 4:18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul's in prison. The Philippians knew his needs. He sent this brother in the Lord, Epaphroditus, and he sent him with this offering to Paul, and it was a sacrificial offering that brought a sweet aroma to God. Paul's looking at the Philippians and going, wow, as God has called me to invest in you, to present the gospel to you, to nurture you, to give birth to a church, to help you grow in maturity, that I see the wondrous work of God transforming this group of people to have a heart for Jesus that shows the compassion that Jesus would have us to have. And he says, wow, I invested myself in them. The product is their growth in Christ, and it's a sweet aroma that glorifies God. Isn't that cool? I just absolutely love that. The Philippians invested themselves wholeheartedly in the things of God. That's the sacrificial life. That we invest ourselves wholeheartedly in the things of God. And then the third point within that section, C, as I listed in my outline, a sacrificial drink offering. Now, it's interesting. In the Old Testament, a drink offering was poured over the meat offering to conclude the sacrifice offering. The wine poured on the hot coals created what? What happens when you throw liquid on hot coals? Puff, right? Here's the picture that you and I need to walk away with today. You've got this slab of meat on this altar before God. That slab of meat from the Old Testament to the New Testament represents you and me. I have laid myself. By the way, who wants to be on hot coals? Who wants to be burned up? The old man dies. It's burned up. But at the same time, the focus of living our life for God has been laid at the altar before him. That I'm willing to sacrifice whatever God has me to sacrifice, that God can use me for him in his glory. That's the picture of you and I being that side of an ox laid on this altar. It reflects the life of Paul in this instance. That's saying that meat offering on that grid that's being burned up and consumed is my life, that I made a decision initially to be that living sacrifice, and I've committed it to the Lord, and it has been expended to its fullest. In other words, God has taken who he's made me to be and used me to the full extent that God intended to use me my whole life. And he's writing, okay? And later on, he's telling people, we'll look at the scripture here in a minute, and he pours the picture of in the Old Testament, of the drink offering being poured on this meat offering that's been consumed, it's turned into ash, is that this is my final offering before I go home to be with the Lord. James 4:14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, do we? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know what that resonates to me? Life is valuable. We as Christians need to make the decision to stay committed to being a living sacrifice for Jesus, because it is a valuable and worthwhile commitment to make. And life can be taken away from us that fast. And I want my life, and I pray you do too, to be a life that says, Lord, I've lived a life. I've found what you have laid hold of me for. I've been faithful to it. I've laid down all that I am before you on this gridded altar to be consumed by you for your glory. And when my time is up, I just go to be with you. Whew, I love that. I absolutely love that. Philippians, oh, well, it's, life is like a vapor, it appears and disappears. We need to remember that. We just need to remember that. It helps keep us on focus. Hey, life's not about this, life's about Jesus. Philippians 2:17 says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Hey, if I've given myself as a living sacrifice to help you to be what God has called you to be, and I see that fruit and that maturity and that growth and that transformation in your lives, then I am pleased to pour out the last that I am as a reflection of my commitment to Christ and my commitment to you for God's kingdom. Got that picture? Hey, it's such a joy to see the fruit of my life being laid down as a sacrificial offering. It's such a joy for each one of us as Christians to see the fruit of what God does with your life and my life when we lay ourselves down as that continual living sacrifice. And that does not mean easy street. It does mean pain. Christ suffered on the cross for us agonizingly with pain to carry out the Father's will. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that's what motivated Paul. That's what should motivate you and I. That if Jesus, who's God in the flesh, would die for me and go through such suffering and such ridicule and such rejection, then I can be encouraged to do the same thing for him by his power that lives in me. And I will learn to live in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, raising me above the things of this world and my own sinful nature, that I might discover him. Praise God for that. Amen. The investment in God's kingdom work was a significant part of Paul's meat offering. You get that picture? The sacrifice he made, the product was the fruit, and it glorified God. Let's look at this conclusion in 2 Timothy 4:6-7. Paul says again, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Hey, I've run the course. I've laid down my life as that meat offering. My time has come, I know it. I'm going home. I'm pouring out the last bit of me that's left for the glory of God. That's cool. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That is not just a poetic verse in the Bible. That is something that you and I have to make a decision whether we want to do that. Do we want to fight the good fight? It's a good fight. It's well worth the fight. It's well worth the sacrifice. It's well worth the pain. It's well worth anything that comes along with it, because it brings us to a new life, like the old man that said, only lived 2 years. I've only learned to know what it means to live for 2 years, though I'm 80 years old. 2 years, I've learned what it means to live. That life is in Jesus. I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Run the full course. So we can pour out the drink offering on what? The coals that were once the meat offering now are totally consumed. Our life has totally been consumed for God and his purpose and his glory. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Here's I have kept the faith. Keeping the faith doesn't mean simply that I believe in Jesus and I won't let go of that until I die. That is not keeping the faith in of itself. Keeping the faith is saying, Lord, I am faithful to you through thick and thin, through whatever comes, all the way to the end, to be a sweet aroma for you. That's what God wants. And the richness of life, beyond what we could ever make for ourselves, beyond what this world can offer. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. When we see God work in our lives, we see Him touch our heart, when we see Him reveal Himself, when we see Him take care of a problem that we laid before His throne, when we see Him provide a need, when we see Him just in His grace and mercy give us something out of His love and kindness, something that we don't even, wasn't even looking for, praise Him for who He is. Let's go to the Lord. Let us be that living sacrifice until our work on earth is done. Father, I want to thank You. It's a strange thing, Father, that to look at being a living sacrifice could be such a joy and such a fulfillment in You. It's a strange thing that being a living sacrifice could bring such life that raises us above the way of the world, above our own desires, that can reveal a spiritual understanding that is deeper and higher and pure, that is holy and right and pleasing to You, that directs us in ways that will guide us through this life and that will have eternal effect for Your glory. I praise You for that. That strange reality that sacrifice can bring such life. Help each one of us to have that desire and to maintain that decision of commitment to You. And may we discover just that fullness of You in our life. We ask this that You may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.